It's time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio.
Well, Bram, it's time for Chasing the Word here on Compassion Radio.
We start the week off right, and I'm so glad we get to keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
People keep listening for some reason.
I'm glad they do.
And they got about halfway through the book with us in the book of John. Before that, we did the book of Ecclesiastes and the book of Acts before that. It's become pretty much an anchor of our ministry and of our own personal disciplines, and we need it.
Well, I like that we're doing this because it reminds me that it is so important to get into the Word and to chase the Word, chase the Spirit of God wherever He goes, to learn more about Him and to just be better acquainted with my own thoughts about the Word.
We've said it 1,000 times before. We'll say it 1,000,000 times more. The Word is a person, not just letters on a page. Mm. As we capture who God is, not just what He said in the language He originally wrote it through the hands that He had available to Him thousands of years ago,
mm-hmm.
but how He's writing it on our hearts today.
Yeah.
And getting into the mind and heart of John for us has been about as close as I've ever thought about getting to the real experience of those who knew Jesus in the first person.
Historically, it's been said that John was what you would call Jesus' best friend
right.
here on earth. And so it would seem to me that John has a little more insight into the person of Jesus. And even how Jesus was motivated to do some of the things He did. John speaks to that.
I know we've talked before. Does God have a personality? And then we talk about Jesus being a human being among us. There's all kinds of things that were unique to Him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, He wouldn't have been the same person had He been born in a different family, mm-hmm. a different time. In some regards, what He does and the nature He comes from, the power with which He exercises authority, all of that comes from beyond time.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus, the person, is a unique human being in history. And we have to remember the fact that He is just as man as we are, but just as God as His Father is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always going to be the dynamic tension for us as we try to read into this and try not to make it so human that we can't remember how divine and holy He is.
Yeah, that's true.
At the same time, not dismiss our responsibility to interact with each other as Jesus interacted with His disciples in a real, tangible, earthy kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I appreciate John's account.
Mm. Well, speaking of that, we are in John chapter 12. Last week, we talked about the triumphal entrance and how Jesus came riding on the foal of a donkey.
Yeah.
And we talked about how that is almost an act of surrender. You know, it was a humbling thing. It was a humble act for Him to ride in on a donkey, whereas a conquering king or prince would come in on a huge horse, you know, to show his might and his power. But that's not how Jesus entered the city.
I think the surrender you're talking about is surrendering Himself to His Father's purposes.
Mm-hmm.
He always had victory in His hand.
Absolutely.
He still does. He has not exercised all the victories that we read about in the Word of God. So we know that there's more to come. But nonetheless, He approaches with a victory in His hand. It's not that He's weak. He's just very much mm-hmm. under control.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what kind of sacrifice He's going to make. And no matter what other people might say about this, I am absolutely convinced that there is nobody in the universe that has ever been stronger than Jesus to face what He was going to face.
Right.
And nobody could have pulled it off
yeah.
other than Him.
Yeah. Well, let's jump back in. Starting in verse 16 of John chapter 12. Now, Jesus' disciples didn't fully understand the importance of what was taking place. But after He was raised and exalted into glory, they understood how Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies in the scriptures that were written about Him. All the eyewitnesses of the miracle Jesus performed when He called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead kept spreading the news about Jesus to everyone they met. The news of this miracle of resurrection caused the crowds to swell as great numbers of people welcomed Him into the city with joy. But the Pharisees were disturbed by this and said to each other, "We won't be able to stop this. The whole world is going to run after Him."
We would hope.
Now, there were a number of foreigners from among the nations who were worshippers at the feast. They had come for the Passover. They went to Philip, who came from the village of Bethsaida in Galilee, and they asked him, "Would you take us to see Jesus? We want to see Him." So Philip went to find Andrew, and they both went to inform Jesus. Jesus replied to them, "Now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Let me make this clear. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops into the ground and dies, because then it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because one grain died. The person who loves his life and pampers himself will miss true life, but the one who detaches his life from this world and abandons himself to me will find true life and enjoy it forever." If you want to be my disciple, follow me, and you will go where I am going. And if you truly follow me as my disciple, the Father will shower his favor upon your life. Even though I am torn within and my soul is in turmoil, I will not ask the Father to rescue me from this hour of trial, for I have come to fulfill my purpose, to offer myself to God. So, Father, bring glory to your name. Then suddenly a booming voice was heard from the sky. I have glorified my name, and I will glorify it through you again. The audible voice of God startled the crowd standing nearby. Some thought it was only thunder, yet others said, an angel just spoke to him.
We have to put these pause buttons in the middle of these incredible action scenes because we only have a half an hour to cram in some good thoughts and some incredible reading and let it stew in our hearts for a while. Mm. Folks, we're asking you to actually consume the word with us, and we want you to be reading this along with us. And of course, we have our Dynamic Gospel translation available to you online, free for download with the study guide that we have available every week. But if you're listening for the first time and don't have the study guide, follow along with us and then go back and do it yourself. Mm. You know, find a friend, sit down and have coffee together. Now, as far as Jesus arriving in Jerusalem, each of these chapters often get glossed over as we run from prime event to the prime event, and we forget that all this other stuff happened in the middle. Mm-hmm. As you spend time going through the word like this, all that middle stuff suddenly becomes much more prime. They become the big things.
Well, you see the significance in the in-between times.
Yeah, and you see the things that Jesus chose to do and to not do in the middle of the cross current of people's trying to reach out to him because they get caught up in this. Mm-hmm. The whole city's being caught up. And I would say that that is the Spirit of God stirring hearts, mm-hmm. no doubt. And probably the opposition stirring the hearts of those who want to create a counterwave and drive out this presence. So there's a whole bunch of levels, I think, that are happening in Jerusalem at this point, and it's about to boil over.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we talked about before in the program, John is looking back on these events,
oh, yeah.
and John is not narrating them as they go. He's looking back on things that happened, and so he's picking out little significant things that he saw as they walked through this time together. And he sees how the news about Lazarus is spreading and people are getting all excited about that and how this is upsetting the leaders in the synagogue. Mm. They are getting very worked up about what's happening in there.
Paranoid.
They want to put Lazarus to death too.
Yeah.
Because of the testimony.
Things are getting out of hand.
Exactly. And then we see these outsiders, these Greeks that have come into town for presumably the Passover.
They are brought into the faith, but they're Greek by genetics.
Mm-hmm. We see that they're coming into the city and they're hearing all of the hubbub, the commotion about what's going on. Someone may have told them about Lazarus being raised from the dead by Jesus. And they're like, we got to meet this guy.
Yeah.
So they find Philip. We see Philip go to Andrew and say, you're in the inner circle here. You can actually go to Jesus and ask for these people. They want to meet him. So he goes. And Jesus' response is strange to me. I read through it and I pondered and I thought, what does this mean when Jesus all of a sudden starts talking about a grain of wheat? And if it doesn't do anything, and it's just a grain of wheat and it doesn't help anybody, it doesn't do anything but sit there unless it is buried in the ground and dies, then it produces this harvest. And I kept thinking, what does he mean by this? Is he talking about himself? Is he the grain of wheat? Are we the grain of wheat? And then, I have to be honest, I read a commentary.
Sometimes it's good for your soul.
Yeah. It lightened me, I think, mm-hmm. because it began to say that when you plant a grain of wheat, it makes a whole big stalk and it makes a big plant, makes more grains of wheat, begins to multiply, and it feeds a bunch of people. So I see Jesus is the grain of wheat that's dying, and those around him are being fed by that crop produced because of Jesus' death. In turn, they become grains of wheat and they are buried and become crops for others. Jesus is saying basically, I'm here now and I'm going to be gone soon. I'm going to die. The harvest is going to be great and you are going to go out into the world to these Greeks, to the Gentiles, basically, and the harvest is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger because of that.
I hear him having an internal dialogue inside his mind saying, I am that wheat.
Mm-hmm.
I am that seed. I'm going to be planted now to bring life to others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, human beings have different kinds of productivity. We have a mind, so we can do different things that multiply our value over generations and to the benefit of others. A seed of wheat is planted in the ground. It does one thing. It grows a plant.
Mm-hmm.
That plant will do the one thing it does. It will bear fruit, provided that it's nourished. Human beings can do a lot of things with their lives. We can have more children. We can raise families. We can adopt others. We can be a mentor to other people in this world to bring forth spiritual fruit in others. We can also go do things that produce things that will make a difference for others. And we do many projects and have over the many years that we've been Compassion Radio. And we send not just dollars, but we send relief supplies, and we've sent many people to different parts of the world to bring their expertise to do things. And we get to interview all the people that hit the front lines and do these incredible works. And we're so proud and honored to be able to be part of their mm-hmm. work and to bring their story back, because that's part of the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
The story that comes from it, where God is glorified and lifted up, is one of the many fruits that come from the labor, the blessed labor of the followers of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to become the life that comes out of his disciples, and their lives will do the same for others as that grows, as that multiplies through generations.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere we go in the world now, we find people who are faithful followers of Jesus, and sometimes you'll have no idea how they even got that way. And their miracle stories of encountering Jesus, the Word of God in first person, are miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it also coincides with all the other works that Jesus sent us to send missionaries to many places, to go live with people, to go be present. All those things are working together for his honor, his glory.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of this whole experience, God thunders down his pride
mm-hmm.
and shouts it. I mean, enough to make the entire city sit down, wait for a second to listen for the thunder to subside, and says, "I am so pleased with you."
Yeah.
And he wants everyone to hear that. So for me, to sum it up, it is basically about God seeing what he's about to do. He's focused so much on that. He's got laser focused vision.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he's given an opportunity to go bring the word to all of these other seekers that are standing right by him on the way, his eye now is on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And as he enters the city, all he can do is think in terms that speak to what he's about to do, what he's doing by coming in, the way he's coming in, the kind of person he is, the kind of God he serves that is his Father.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that seemed to fall out of his mouth from this point forward seemed to be so focused that it's like we're all kind of looking over his shoulder while he looks at something else.
It is as if he sees further down the road than we can imagine.
Yeah. And I'm certain that those who were seeking him, those Greeks that were in the city, they probably got to be witness of the many miracles that happened through the resurrection and through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And who knows how many of those people that are mentioned in that verse became faithful followers of Jesus the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
It's quite possible. This dynamic gospel is available to you in a handy paperback edition, and I'd love to send you one when you send your gift and ask for it. You can drop us a line, ask a question, submit a prayer request, or download a free Bible study guide in just the same way. It all happens at CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free order line is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. If you need to call early or late, that's okay. Just make sure to leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you immediately when the doors open each business day. You can also give anytime online at CompassionRadio.com. And if you prefer to put a stamp on it, you can always find us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today.
Honey, let's read the Dynamic Gospel version of this same scripture now.
Again, from chapter 12 of John, starting at verse 16, and then carry on till verse 29. Jesus' students didn't consider the prophetic value of the strange scene at the time, but later, once Jesus had returned to his glory, they understood that all of those prophecies of the Messiah were played out in the life of Jesus exactly as written. All the people traveling with Jesus from Bethany were eyewitnesses both to the resurrection of Lazarus and the words of prophecy coming to life. By their word had all the enthusiasm started in the streets of Jerusalem. There was far too much excitement and expectation to keep quiet any longer. The religious leaders threw up their hands saying, "Good Lord, is all lost? Everyone in the world is going after Jesus. What can we possibly do?" Among the throng were a group of pilgrims from Greece, intending to join the Passover celebrations and worship at the temple. These Greeks were bold enough to corner one of Jesus' students, Philip, of the Galilean town of Bethsaida, saying, "Wow, this is exciting! If this Jesus is truly the Master, we would most definitely like to meet him ourselves." Philip took the news to Andrew, and together they brought the news to Jesus. Jesus answered, "Now I know the time has come for the Son born to man to be glorified. All the pieces are in place. Pay attention here. A wheat seed will always be alone unless it is planted in the ground. In doing so, it dies that new life can grow. That life will produce much more fruit, just like the original seed. Love your own life too much and you destroy it. Hate the worldly life and you'll enter into real living, and you'll never have to give up that kind of life. It will last forever. If anyone intends to serve me, then simply follow my example. Go where I go. You'll never get left behind or cut out. And never fear, good servants will be richly rewarded by my Father with high honors. But this next step troubles me greatly. I cannot lie. What should I say? Father, save me from this? No, not on your life. This is the supreme moment of opportunity. Everything I am and have done lead to this one thing. Father, show how worthy you are," Jesus shouted at the heavens. Just then a voice came back for all to hear. I have, I do, and I will again. Many in the crowd tried to explain it away as thunder. Others said it was the voice of a powerful angel speaking to Jesus. So, angel or phenomenon, the debate goes on ever since. That God says, I am so pleased, I am pleased in what you're doing, I know I'll be pleased with what you do. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine more of a blessing for the most crucial things that are going to happen for the history of mankind? I mean, think about fathers and mothers that send away their sons and daughters to war, and you don't know if that's going to be your final goodbye. They have to summon up some kind of courage to be able to bless them to go do the thing they're called to do and that they've sworn to do. In defense of our country or the values around the world somewhere, stand in the way of danger and a threat. Mm-hmm. They may or may not come home because of it. When you send someone out like that, I can't imagine sending my own sons or daughters off to war, except to know that in that moment I would be dreading it and I would be so, so proud.
Mm. And how do you communicate that with them? That's a tough one.
Yeah. It's hard enough to say goodbye to our kids when they're going to go overseas and spend a few months doing a special project or be involved with some of the kingdom work that we've talked about. You don't know how they're going to come back. They could come back sick, somebody else could go wrong in the trip, or they could come back totally changed and you wouldn't recognize who they are. Yet it might be a very God thing that happened. But anytime we send our sons and daughters out and we bless them and we say, God, go with you, they're going to come back changed. And as much as Jesus has been so close and immediate and tender with the people he knew and his good, good friends, what he's going to go through as a human being is going to forever change that human being who is part of God. I don't know how to frame it better than that. And I don't know what more we can say other than that it truly is a mystery. How does the same person go through that and come out exactly the same? I don't think you can.
Oh, no.
So it is part of God's wisdom and his mystery to make sure that Jesus experiences all we experience, up and including the point of death, the crushing, but to come out the other side and show us what we can become and will become in him when we cross over.
Well, and also Jesus has talked about, just before this, being the grain of wheat that dies.
Yeah.
In that scenario, too, we see that we become a grain of wheat that dies when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ and to service of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that is more beautiful than to be willing to say and mean it, God, use me in your service to bring others to the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And to life in him.
When I hear the word knowledge of Jesus Christ, I'm so tired of thinking about that just being ideas or thoughts instructions. To know Jesus Christ is to have experienced him.
It's a deep intimacy with Christ.
Yeah. And it means that they've had intimacy with us too in a way that they trust our hearts and that we've earned the right literally to say, this is why I am the person I am.
Mm-hmm.
The good parts, obviously from God. The bad parts he's working on. But there's something different about me that could not have happened other than this story you're going to be reading about in your heart, in your life, as I grow and as you follow me. So in a family especially, we have to give testament to what we saw in those who led us to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a very hard accounting for some people. They didn't have a great example, but they know that through the pain they went through in life, they at least got Jesus.
Yeah.
And that it's kind of trite to say that it's worth more than all the weight of gold in the world. But an eternity, it truly is the value of it.
Yeah.
But that does not discredit the kind of pain some people go through and the hard roads they go down because of the bad example, the unwillingness to follow Christ that others have demonstrated for them and claim to be followers of Christ. So whether we got a good example or a bad example, there's still Jesus.
Yeah, we have to grapple with that. We have to grapple with the things, good or bad, that we experienced throughout the course of our life and hold on to Jesus in that. And Jesus says, too, if you love yourself and you pamper yourself, you're going to miss what real life is about.
Yeah.
You're going to miss the point of why I came, he's telling them. And he says, when you detach yourself from the cares of life, from the good, the bad, when you just focus on Jesus and what he's done for you, then you find true life and enjoyment of that life.
That cannot
forever.
Be stolen away.
The abundant life that we talk about in Jesus.
Put that in modern vernacular. Jesus is saying, pursue the American dream, and that's all you pursue, you'll come up empty. Pursue me, even at the cost of losing all that other good stuff, even the best stuff that the world has to offer, and have only me left. You're still a zillion times farther ahead. That's what he's saying. It's not our opinion or our way to try to rationalize with you, listener, to say, give your heart to Jesus. It is simply Jesus' word to his disciples, which he's passed on through us to you today. So I want to speak to the folks that identify with the Greek community that was there watching the scene. They were earnest. They were curious. They wanted to know about God. They wanted to be close to him. And when they get close, they get answers that don't make sense.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get close to the people of God and we don't understand what they're doing. And we're embarrassed or we're not courageous enough to step in there ourselves and ask a question face to face. Or it seems like those who have the authority to hold God in a box don't want to see it close. Whatever the reasons are, you know, God's got his agenda, but his agenda does not mean that they're dismissed. It just means that they get to witness something that is so mysterious and him so focused that they got a glimpse into who God is. I know in my heart of hearts, he did not forget those seekers. So even if we find ourselves in a place where we're not getting the answers or we don't understand what this thing is about, I feel like I'm on the outside all the time. I would say, tell God that. Just let him know you're feeling like you're on the outside. Ask him to find you a way to the inside.
And there's always a way.
Yeah.
When we earnestly seek the truth really does set us free.
Yeah. You and I have been in many places in the world where we've prayed prayers like, I don't know what to do next, Lord. Can you send me somebody to show the way? He's always answered.
I continue to be amazed at the tenacity and the focus of Jesus as we begin to wind down the book of John. And yes, we have more chapters to go, but we began to see what Jesus was walking through step by step as he entered Jerusalem that day. And what's happening is we are getting a real picture of the agony and the turmoil that surrounded this whole week, this whole scene.
Yeah. It's called Holy Week for a reason. It is set apart beyond all weeks in the history of mankind, on this planet, probably.
Yeah.
You know, when you do a long trek where you're trying to make solid progress and you're worn out and you're destroyed by the path over the first few days because you're not in shape, but you stay persistent and you keep going, you don't always realize how much you've actually risen. And then someday you can see that the end is in sight. You can see the peak. And then you know what you're in for because you've known what your body has gone through to condition itself to get ready for the next assault on that peak. It may have been days and weeks and months. Who knows how long you've been traveling. But you know at that point, with the end in sight, that you're ready. Not that you're perfect or going to be able to have no accidents along the way, but simply that you have prepared properly so that you're perfectly suited for the challenge. Jesus is walking his disciples and the entire world on an ever-increasing moral incline here throughout his life. He never goes down. He doesn't bottom out.
Yeah.
His bottom is going to be at the moment of real glory, where he is completely abandoning himself to his Father. But when he can see that height, that Everest peak ahead of him, the highest moral mountain that any man has ever climbed, he's not planning to go there completely alone. Even Isaac, as the offering on top of Mount Moriah there with his father ready to sacrifice him, you know, others were down and away from them looking up to the mountain to see something special happen, wondering what was going to happen because something obviously was going to happen. The whole world is witness to what's going to happen next for Jesus. The whole world today is still looking to Jesus and his disciples, the ones that traveled with him, to see what they're going to do in this moment of crisis. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't think there's crises around the world right now, you have not gotten out of bed today.
Or for the last few months. Yeah.
That does not mean, of course, there's not joy and there's not fun even, and not fellowship and love. All those things coexist and can exist in a world that's going crazy. But we don't need to be the ones going crazy, because we know that we have a God who sees the peak. He knows where he's bringing us. He knows where he's going to take us when it's all said and done. And it's his economy, his strength, his plan, his actions that matter most. And all we have to do is follow.
Absolutely.
He will find a way to help us to follow. Thanks so much for joining us for the Compassion Radio's Chasing the Word series on the Book of John. We'll come back for the rest of chapter 12 in next week's episode. God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today. Remember, none of this is possible without you. If you believe hearing the good news from the front lines of faith builds your faith, then let us know today. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or make your gift through our website, compassionradio.com. We need you, friend, so contact us today.